You know, it's kind of funny. When we sat down to tape today's podcast, it was originally going to be a couple of news and some notes on the coaching situations around the NHL, what's going on, guys who are signing contracts, etc., and then we were going to go in depth on Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final. So the coaching discussion got out of hand and became its own podcast, which will be dropping Thursday. And it got a lot longer than we thought it would. But that's a good thing, right? We really got into the depth of the situation, what's going on. Not only talking about guys still hanging out there, but some of the deals that have been signed. So look forward to that coming on Thursday. And instead, today, we will fast forward the coaching talk and instead go directly to Mike Haynes and I breaking down Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final and what we could be looking at here in Game 4. So many questions all of a sudden that, quite frankly, just weren't there 2 days ago. So plenty to get into. Stick around. The Talking Puck podcast starts right now. All right, everybody, here we go on the Talking Puck podcast once again. Tom Callahan, Mike Haynes, please follow us on Twitter. I'm at Callahan on air. He is at BusterTheDog33. And thanks for watching our show live on Twitter, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on Sunday nights. We're also on Facebook Live, we're on YouTube, and we're on Twitch.tv. And we love getting the questions from the chat. We had a great lively chat. Mike, on Sunday night show, it was 2-0 Colorado. The Avalanche dominated the Lightning, and we were wondering if that was Taps quietly playing in the background on the Tampa Bay Lightning run. And even several folks in the chat, I even told you my dad had declared the series over. My dad had given Tampa up for dead.
Right.
And then we said, well, first period's going to tell us what happens. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't the best, but not the worst. I felt better about Tampa Bay starting the first period. Then that crucial call that negates that first Colorado goal. The puck barely comes outside the blue line. So the play's offside. The goal doesn't count. And for the first time in this series, I thought to myself, Tampa Bay got a break. This could be their night. And as it turned out, boy, was it.
Mm-hmm.
Big time win.
Right. Yeah. No, it was. I don't think anybody should be shocked. I thought that the first period would tell us whether they're just out of gas, where Vasilevsky is just, he's just tired and done and overworked. And you could not fault him. You could just go, look, this is a guy. He plays so many. He plays all the games.
He does.
And he is a huge factor for why they win. And he's called upon to do a lot. And you just think at some point he just run out. And so was that just the case? I never thought that Colorado was so good that Tampa Bay can't beat them. I thought it was more a case of Tampa Bay just rung out after going 7 against Toronto, having to come back from 2-0 against New York, having to beat the President's Trophy team. It's asking a lot while Colorado coasted against some bad teams and cruised in, had plenty of rest. And again, they got off to that bad start in the first period of Game 1, but Tampa Bay came back. And if they got the bounce and had won in overtime, and even if they got blown out in Game 2, we'd be having a different, completely different conversation.
Yes.
About this, right? It's a whole different feeling. But I just thought we're either going to see the two-time defending cup character come out and show a younger team that has never won anything, this is how you do it. This is why we are the champions. Or they're just tired and they're done and they played too many games, and that's so I just thought we'll see pretty quick which way it goes. And if they're just out, that they're just done, then that you know, the New York Islanders made it to 5 consecutive Stanley Cups. You forget that they won 4 in a row, but they made it to 5 before they lost to the Oilers. They just ran out of gas. And the Oilers were young, upcoming. I mean, obviously, they went on to win 4 in a row themselves, so they're a great team. But the Islanders did make it five in a row, only to lose finally. You just can't do it at some point. It's asking too much. And you can almost, you know, anyway, that was my thought going into game three. We'll see whether Tampa Bay back home, back at sea level, whether they have enough character left in them and determination, whether they just, whether it's a team that just went, we won two in a row, we worked our tails off to get back here, but we're not that this other team's better than us, we just don't have anything left. So I guess my question then back to you, Tom, is what I asked after game two on Sunday night. Is the fire and determination back for Tampa Bay, what you saw in game three? And is Vasilevsky, at least on the road back, does he seem like he has anything left in the tank? That's my questions to you today.
And so, and real quick, I do want to mention it was 4 out of 5 for Edmonton. Montreal won 86. So they won.
They won 4.
4 out of 5.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. Sorry about that.
The Canadians fans would be all over.
Patrick Waugh's first year.
Right. You should know that, Mike. You're such a big Patrick Waugh guy.
I am. But you know what? They didn't play it. Edmonton didn't lose in the final. They didn't make it to the finals that year.
True. They did not. That was Calgary, I think.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, who was
then
Calgary?
Who then went on to win in 89.
Right, and the only team to claim the cup on the forum ice ever. Mm-hmm. Only team. So, besides the Canadians, obviously. Let's start with Vasilevsky. I was number one shocked, number two disappointed that he got left in for all of the game two beating. I felt like he should have been taken out fairly early, but Cooper didn't do it. And obviously John Cooper knows Andrei Vasilevsky far better than I do. It was a good rebound game for him. I was a little concerned if that first goal that goes in, and it was a bit of a flub shot. It wasn't the disallowed goal. It wasn't a solid shot. There was a screen, but it goes in. But, you know, it kind of flutters its way over his shoulder, and all of a sudden I'm thinking to myself, oh, God, it's exactly the kind of goal he can't give up. Even if you don't see it, it just is disheartening. But then it comes off the board. And so many things about that moment in time in this game, I felt like played to Tampa Bay. And then after that, I thought Vasilevsky was solid. Now, Colorado's power play is still disgusting. They looked great, scored those two goals on the power play. And I often find it hard to ever fault a goaltender on a power play goal. And I'm not going to do it here. But I think he gave them, which is what he's needed to do, give them every save that they had to have. And that's what he's done for Tampa Bay the last 2.5 years. He gave them the saves they had to have. So, yes, I think he put game two behind him. Like we talked about Sunday night, he's a goldfish like Sam, had a short memory. And now he turned in a good performance. So I'm okay there. Tampa Bay game four now. Is the energy back, the determination, the will to win? I don't think it ever necessarily left. However, I am concerned about injury status for them. We saw Kucherov go off the ice. And Kucherov's a gamer. I think if he's able to play game four, he will. We don't know if he'll be able to play game four. I don't necessarily think the hit was suspendable by Taves. It was unfortunate. Should he have gotten a cross-checking penalty? Probably. Guys are beat up this time of year. Sometimes that little extra hit puts them out, even when they don't want to be. But even if they don't have Kucherov in game four, and they've had their issues with Point being hurt and dinged up, and they're a little thin right now. But, Mike, I think the energy is back. I think it was sucked out of the building in game two on them. But again, a little bit of tone setting at the end of game two, as there was at the end of game three, Colorado was upset. This is the first time, Mike, I've seen Colorado upset in the playoffs. In the playoffs. To me, that's probably the best sign for Tampa Bay coming out of that game, is Colorado was upset. And I have not seen that from the Avalanche in four series. This is the first time.
Why is that good for Tampa Bay?
Well, because it means finally somebody got in Colorado's kitchen and made them upset. They haven't had a reason to. They've been cruising. Everything's gone their way. Even if they've lost a game or two, I didn't see them get that upset at the end of a game against St. Louis. Yeah, I mean, you're pushing and shoving, but And of course, this is different. This is for the Stanley Cup now. But I don't think anybody has really upset the apple cart of the Avalanche at all. They haven't faced adversity. You pointed this out on Sunday. What real adversity have they faced in these playoffs so far?
Zero. Zero.
Maybe this is kind of that point for them. Game four against Tampa Bay. Now, maybe they got slapped a little bit, and it's uncomfortable, and now they have to respond. I think Tampa Bay comes out once again. Look, these two teams are real close to even. They're real good. But, and we'll get to this. I want to talk about Darcy Kuemper in a second. But on paper, they're real close to even. And for Colorado to face adversity for the first time, now you're going to find out what a coach like Jared Bednar brings to this team when things aren't going their way. Because they have gone their way all season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have not, besides the playoffs, they haven't had adversity all year. They just cruised all
season. They really did.
They just had, everything went their way. They were even when they had injuries, Tom, they just kept winning. It didn't matter who they put out there. They were winning. It was, it just shows you the Western Conference is not, I don't know, somebody who, one of our listeners, viewers, was trying to make a case the West is better than the East. That's insanity. Anyway, but they had no pressure all year. Especially in their division, there wasn't any. I mean, they Minnesota got off to a great start to the year, but then once Colorado passed them, that they never even had to look in the rearview mirror after that. So anyway, right. They don't have that. The Kucherov thing is concerning. I still think he is pound for pound the best player, a skater on both teams. If you just took just sheer skill, he's the best player. That's a huge loss if he can't play. You just don't know with him, though. Sometimes you just don't know what's right with him. Sometimes, you know, he could be back and be fine, or he may be gone for the rest of the play. You just don't know with him. So that's very concerning. Did you feel better about the Tampa defense? I mean, besides the power play, and then as you said, their power play is
gross. It's so good. Yeah. It is so good. Yeah. Colorado's power play. You know what I did? Because I felt like Tampa Bay, look, in the first couple of games, there were a lot of mistakes, mental and physical, especially in game two. Big-time mistakes, missed coverages, blown coverages, and odd man situations, and just it almost looked like they were learning a new system. It was so bad at times. I didn't see any of that in game three. I felt, and part of that could be matchups, Mike, for all I know. I mean, it could have been just because they were getting the matchups at home, but I don't think that's all of it. I don't think that's your mental focus. I don't think that that's your physical execution of knowing where your route is and being able to be there and, you know, picking up guys, making reads. That's every player to a man that's dressed has to do that. So I felt better about their performance in that game. And plus, now they have the confidence again, with Vasilevsky playing well behind them. You know, confidence is fickle. It comes and it goes, but I feel like that was a confident Lightning team by the time that third period ended on all fronts.
And that's, if they're feeling confident, look out. That's a team that feeds off of that. And that's why they won two cups and why they're back in the finals, because they, you know, it seemed like they did this against the Rangers. They lost their first two games on the road in the conference finals against the Rangers, the team that was red hot. But it seemed like it was to me, you know what? I just think that with enough pressure, you can score on Darcy Kuemper. I just think you can. I just think the whole series depends on Vasilevsky. If he can get back to that level, that he gives them the chance to win. They have to have him playing at a superstar level to win. If he doesn't, they're not going to. And that was, if he's starting that crest to go back up, that's good for Tampa Bay. If that, or if it was just a, you know, and it's interesting because you would think you just got done, you had 2 days off in Denver, and you then played worse. You then had to travel and had only one day between games, and then you come back and play better. So, you know, it logically doesn't make sense.
Right.
But maybe being back home, being on that rink, you know, a lot of times, surprisingly, now Colorado had not lost on the road during the playoffs this year. Again, they're you know, the opponents were different than what Tampa Bay was playing, but they hadn't, you know, they were a confident group on the road. They had a great home record this year and a very good road record this season. So that's not a problem for them. It's a team because they're one of the highest mileage traveling teams in the National Hockey League. So traveling is not an issue for this team. That's not an issue. It's different than the East Coast teams. When they come west, it's hard on them. They're not used to it, especially the New York area teams. They're not used to it. They're used to, you know, they're used to walking over to the next rink almost, you know, where a team like Colorado with no other team. Now Vegas is a little closer, but for years, they were, I think, next to Vancouver, traveled the most miles. So anyway, traveling is not an issue. So you feel like the confidence is back a little bit there for Tampa. Crowd is still a hungry crowd for another cup, isn't it? A great. It's not like we won two. I think it makes you even more. It's so much fun. You want to do it again, don't you think?
Yeah, and that city is actually, you know, they have an NFL championship a couple of years ago now, and they've got two Stanley Cups. It's a good place to be a sports fan right now.
The Rays won one year, didn't they? And the Rays won. Yeah, they did. They went through. They had that stretch where they had all three teams winning. Look that up for me. I thought there was a stretch where all three teams won.
I don't think Tampa Bay won a World Series.
I don't think so.
Look
that up.
Okay, look, I'm Googling right now.
Last time Tampa Bay won a World Series.
Time for a quick break, then back with more of the Talking Puck Podcast in just a moment. You know, here at Talking Puck, we generate a lot of media on different platforms. Open Media's 4K download suite makes my life a lot easier, and it can help you too. Whether you need to download audio clips, convert streams to audio, which we do a lot of here, creating slideshows, or even need help with your social media accounts like Instagram and TikTok, there's something for everyone, from casual user to pro. Use our special link, bit.ly/4kpuck. That's bit.ly/4kpuck to receive a special discount of 25% off your purchase. That's bit.ly/4kpuck. Talking Puck is now on Signal to Noise Radio every Monday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. Signal to Noise is one of the fastest growing internet radio stations, and now they have merch. Help spread the word about Signal to Noise Radio with t-shirts, stickers, keychains, and more. Shipping is direct and free. $25 gets you a t-shirt, while keychains and swag packs start at just $7. Order today at stnradio.com/merch. And thanks for your support. Now back to the show. Yeah, let's see. They've been in the playoffs, and they've been good. And look, they're in a tough division. I'm not going to go baseball talk on you, but holy cow, the AL East. Being an AL East fan myself with the Blue Jays, that's a really hard one. They lost in the World Series in 2020, but they haven't won a World Series.
Maybe that's what I was thinking. They got to the championship. Anyway, I didn't mean to divert that. Sorry. So they've had, but they're anyway. Those I think the fans are still hungry. The building is rocking. It'll be a good atmosphere for game four, for sure. A
couple points I want to make real quick, Mike, is number one, apparently losing 6-2 at some point in the first two games is key to Tampa Bay rallying, because they lost game one to the Rangers 6-2. You know, they just did it in game two this time, or 7-0. I mean, just getting their pants kicked, essentially. But they came back, so nice, good, strong effort. I can appreciate that. And the other thing, too, about Tampa heading home and having that little bit of a... It's that recharge, and you know this from going into the places that, you know, you've been the road team. Some guys still get energy playing on the road, right? Some guys love being booed. Some guys really get off on that. But Everybody loves to play at home in front of a big fan base, a loud arena. Everybody feels that. So that helps too. I mean, you can't discount that.
Yeah, you know what? There's two sides to look at. I think the cup is different during the season. You know, it's one of those hockey lore sayings that, you know, that after a long road trip, you always lose your first game back because you come home and your wife has got the whole list of, hey, this, you know, you got to do this in the house.
The honey-do list.
Right. And so you never play well that first game back, right? You know, but playoffs are different. I think you're looking forward to coming home and doing that. And I brought up my little theory of on Sunday night that the hockey gods only allow you so many goals.
Right.
You don't want to score seven goals in that game too.
Yeah.
Right. You just, it just always bites you. You never, the next game, you don't score another seven. It doesn't work that way in hockey. I don't know why the hockey gods don't allow that, but they're like, whoa, that's too many.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my theory came true on that one.
It did. All right, I got to ask you this. Almost immediately after game three, as I'm listening to them wrap up on the TV side, I think it was Ray Ferraro, said there's no way you can go back to Darcy Kemper. And he said from the way Kemper came off so fast off the ice after that fifth goal, and obviously looking back on it, look, you and I know, everybody knows Darcy Kemper is not Andrei Vasilevskiy. There's no debate here, okay? Right. We realize one is better than the other. But Francouz has carried the Avs for a little bit when Kemper was hurt. And who knows if there's anything going on with Kemper's vision or anything like that. But if Kemper's 100%, Francouz is 100%, do you really, is it that dire in your mind? Because Ferraro, and I'm pretty sure it was Ferraro, was set. You can't go back to Kemper now. You can't go back to him. Francouz has got to be your guy. Live and die with Francouz.
What was his reasoning?
He thought that Kemper played so poorly and was so bad in that game that there's no way Colorado could go back to him.
Well, how does that then compare? I'm sure he didn't make that argument about Vasilevskiy.
Well, exactly. That was the counterpoint I was going to make. Why didn't we say that about, there's no way you can go back to Vasilevskiy. Got to be Brian Elliott now. I mean, the guy's still a starting NHL goaltender. He's not hot garbage that's been playing in you know, whatever, a beer league somewhere.
Yeah.
I was just shocked by that. I was really shocked by
that. It is quite a statement to say.
Yeah. It's over if you don't go to Franzos, and they're up 2-1 in the series. That just seemed like a dire prediction.
Yeah. He said, I wasn't watching. He said it's over if they don't.
Well, change. He didn't say it's over, but that was the tone. He said there's no way you can go back to Darcy Kemper. In his mind, in his way of thinking, he said, you cannot go back to Darcy Kemper. You have to now stay with Pavel Francouz, who only allowed one goal after he came in. And yeah, Kemper got off the ice fast. But you know what, man? I've been pulled too, and I've been having a bad game too. And you know what you want to do? You want to get the heck off the ice. It's not like you want to hang out in front of the Tampa fans on your way off the ice and wave.
Especially on the road.
Yeah, I'm trying to get out of there. Hey.
That's a long skate during the game. That's a long skate, isn't it?
And it was a second period pull, so it was a longer skate. But yeah. You don't want to stay out there. You feel bad about what happened. You know your team is relying on you, and you let them down.
Yeah.
No, but people have bad games. I just thought that was it wasn't even surprising. It was shocking to hear him say that.
Yeah. Yeah. So you think they got to go back to him? They got to put him back in?
Yeah, they're up 2-1 in the series, and Kemper played well in the first two games.
He's coming off a shutout. He had a shutout the previous game.
Yeah, you get shelled in one game, it happens. And again, to your point, why weren't we having this conversation after game two about Vasilevskiy? I didn't hear Ferraro go, oh man, the way he got shelled tonight, there's no way they can go back to him. Of course not, because of his pedigree. I don't think it's fair to lump Kemper in that same area. Now, look, if there's a physical malady, again, the eyesight thing, if that's bothering him, different story. But if he had a bad game, he had a bad game. I don't think you can just say, well, that's it for Darcy Kemper. That's way too drastic.
for me.
Did you think they were bad goals, or do you think Tampa Bay just outplayed them?
Look, he could have been better, but I think unless Kemper stands on his head, like delivers an all-timer, they lose.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because he would have had to held them to one goal for them to win, right, is the reality of it. So it doesn't matter if he gives up 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6, mm-hmm, or 7, or 8, or 9. You know, like it was 5-2 when he was pulled. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was 5-2 at that point. It might have been 5-1. But the point is, he gave up 5, comes out. They're not in the hockey game.
I think it was 5-2, wasn't it?
Might have been 5-2. But yeah. It just, unless he limits Tampa to one goal,
mm-hmm,
you can't tell me that. You can't tell me that Kemper is not your starter for game 4. I just don't see I don't know. Maybe somehow that becomes the thinking. And like I say, Francois hasn't been bad in the playoffs when he's been called on, and he was thrown in because of injury. But I think that's what your backup is supposed to do. He stops the bleeding. He did. He only gave up one more. He let Colorado feel a little better about itself leaving that game. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he's your starter for game 4.
Making a change in a Stanley Cup final, that sends a real message. You've almost lost Kemper then at that point, haven't you? In a sense, I don't know his character well enough, but let's just say you sit him, and then Vangelis doesn't have a good game. Now you go, well, now we got to go back to Kemper. Now you pissed him off, right? You've said to the team he's not our guy,
and the series would only be 2-2 at that point.
Right.
If Francois lays a giant egg and they lose 10-0, it's still 2-2.
And you've got 2 home games left.
Right.
But you've sent a message, though. You've sent a message not only to Kemper, but to the team, Tom. Right?
It's hard for me to argue that.
You're saying to the team he's not our guy, because that's because we talked about the silliness. Vasilevsky he could have lost 20-0, and he's going to start the next game.
Right.
He's your guy. We're going to live and die with you. What you're saying to Kemper is, we don't think we don't think you've got it to come back. You know what I'm saying? Unless there is an situation where he just maybe that's bothering him. But if it's not, boy, that's an interesting. This is where you talked about earlier about this is where Bednar's got to earn his money.
Yeah,
this is a coaching decision now. This is a Stanley Cup final coaching decision. You don't have a Vasilevsky. You don't have a Martin Brodeur, Patrick Wall. You don't have. That's not who you have in net. You've got Antti Niemi in net that you're trying to win a cup with. You know what I mean? It's different. It's a different situation.
Yeah.
You're trying to win. You don't have a guy. You wouldn't dare tell Patrick Wall he wasn't playing in the next game. You wouldn't. He would have literally killed you if you did. I mean literally.
You find the body in the hallway strangled to death. Yeah.
I'm not saying it figuratively. Yeah. And Brodeur and any of those great goaltenders. And Vasilevsky's in that category. So, that's an interesting one. Because you're not only sending a message, and I'm going to just repeat myself for the final time. You're not only sending a message to Kemper, like, we don't believe in you. You're saying to the team, look, everybody, we don't believe in this guy. He's not our guy. Wow. If he gets
shelled and pulled in game 4, then we can talk about starting Francois back in game 5 in Denver. Okay, I'll have that conversation. There's no way I'm having it after one bad game on the road against a Tampa Bay team clearly motivated to not be eliminated.
Right.
The statement was so extreme, and coming from a guy like that, it just shocked me, Mike. It caught me off guard. I'm like, how can you say this? I was surprised by it. So I don't know. I think it stirs up an unnecessary controversy. And honestly, Colorado doesn't need that right now. They need to focus on other things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, right away, I haven't, I haven't read the reports. You would know right away in the practice today who's going to start. So we'll but that's an interesting topic of conversation. So anyway, some of the answers I'm getting from you, you felt like Tampa Bay didn't look like the tank is empty.
No,
look like Vasilevsky and right. They're not. Their legs aren't dead. They're not. And they also losing 7-0 and down 2-0. You didn't see just the hangdog. You didn't go. It's not a Tampa team that's thinking, well, the tank is empty. They're better than us. We're not going to win. That wasn't the feeling at all, was it?
No, it wasn't. And you know what? Here's the thing is, again, Tampa not only can feel good about scoring the goals, they can feel good about getting the break on the offside. They can feel good about Vasilevsky's play. They can't feel good about the power or the penalty kill, but if that's the only thing, stay out of the box.
Yeah.
Play discipline, which I know is hard to do against a fast team like the Avalanche. It is tempting to reach out with a stick. It is tempting to try to hold that guy up.
Well, you also have to counter with your own power play.
Sure you do.
You don't mind, Tom, giving up a power play goal if you match it. You know what I mean? You go, okay, they got one, we got one. We're even on the power play. You've got to match their power play goals with power play goals of your own.
Yeah, and it's funny, Mike. You said the reports. I haven't seen anything except to see that Bednar said he'd figure out who his starter was later. So he's even inadvertently stirred his own pot. This was after the game. This was after game three. But man, no, you can't do that.
He said that when you say that, you
plant the seed.
Yeah, of course you do. Of course you do.
Oh, that's not good for the Avalanche. That's not good for the Avalanche. Because that means that there is doubt in that locker room, especially if it comes from the coach. By not coming out right away and saying, nope, we're behind Kemper. He will be out there for game four, ready to go. Now, look, if you change your mind before game four, you can always couch it with, well, there's an injury, something. You can hide it. Say, oh, something's worse than we thought it was. You can hide it. That bothers me from an Avalanche point of view. That really bothers me that they'd do that.
Yeah. We got to learn about. So the key, so the stories then going in game four, the goaltending, obviously, is Vasilevsky back? Was this a one game situation for him where he just reached down deep, found a game? He needs a game. I think his next game, though, Tom, I don't think he can get into one of those 5-4 games. Even if he wins,
can't Grant fear it?
I don't think so. I think he has to. For Tampa Bay side, he has to put down the gauntlet and go 0-1. That's it. That's all you're getting at. Because it sends that message. I'm back.
Right.
And you're not scoring on me. And it messes with players' heads. It does. Goalies can mess with players' heads when you go, oh boy, he's the best goalie in the league. And all of a sudden he's playing great. Now, if he reverts back to the first two games and you're scoring 4 or 5 on him, you're thinking we're going to win this series at some point. He may get another game, but we can score on him. If we can score on him, we're going to win. So I think, if my opinion, tell me if you disagree with me here, but I think he has to, in game four, show that he's all the way back. I think that was a good start, but I think he's got to have one. I don't think it's, even if he wins, I don't think a 6-5, 5-4 game, because that's going to lead Colorado to think we can score on him. We'll win this eventually. Am I wrong in thinking that?
Let me tweak it slightly, and you can feedback on this. I think it's he has to allow 0 5-on-5 goals once again, or 0 even strength, all situations. If Colorado, if they win 3-2 and Colorado again scores twice on the power play but gets nothing 5-on-5, I think that's significant because Colorado can't, theoretically, will not outscore Tampa Bay by only scoring power play goals. So I think that it, special teams aside, if he gives a power play goal or whatever, that's fine. But if he has a zero for the second straight game in even strength situations, that begins to creep on a team as well because that becomes a big point between games for the media and looking at it and say, oh, hey, Colorado can't beat Tampa Bay 5-on-5 now.
Well, that's what happened with the Rangers. That's what happened with the Rangers. They could only score on the power play, seemingly, right?
Yeah.
They went, once the, when they won four games in a row, they it was just only the power play that was scoring for the Rangers.
Yeah.
And so that's big. The Kucherov thing, I think, is huge, too.
Yeah.
That's huge. Huge to me. If they have to have him to play. They need him. They just do. You've got to have it at this time of year where every goal is so big, you've got to have your best player.
And even if he is at 5%, I think he's out there.
Yeah, I hope for Tampa's sake.
Yeah.
But if you're Colorado, you're going, oh, thank goodness he's not playing.
Yeah.
I think that makes a huge difference for them.
I agree. Get that guy some treatment. Get him on the table. whatever it takes. Get them out there. But this is big. I mean, a big pivotal series. But right now, I mean, Mike, if you're going to ask me to pick, I feel like Tampa Bay is going back with a 2-2 situation headed to Colorado for game 5. It just feels like everything is turned back towards Tampa. Now, of course, every game is different. Who knows? A bounce or a break goes for Colorado. We're having a different conversation. I just think it is such a weird set of circumstances to get beat once. Your third loss in the playoffs, really. Your third overall loss. And now you're thinking to yourself, well, man, should we change our goalie? What's going on? What's the problem here? Come on. Really? This is the conversation we're having? I don't see it. I don't understand how you could be so fragile as a team after blazing your way through the first three rounds.
But you know what? That's the fascinating thing about the game in a playoff series. You win game one in overtime, and nothing is more exciting in sports than overtime playoff hockey, right?
Yeah.
You're walking on the clouds. Then you blow out the two-time defending champions, embarrass them, really. I'm telling you, they already were already doing the parade planning here in town.
Well,
already
I bet.
Deciding.
I bet.
Oh, the parade! Oh, I go out for walks. You can't. Everybody's already got the. They're already planning. Everybody's talking about the victory. You know, party they're going to have. I mean, it's done. The sadness yesterday. I went for a walk, late night walk. It was just so the pall that was over. It's just so funny how it changes, doesn't it? Every game is life or death. Oh my goodness, we're going to win the cup next game. Oh my goodness, we're never going to win another game. It just swings. That's the nature of a 7-game series. Because you keep every game has its reason for being so important. You know, game one, you want to get off to a great start. Whoever wins, obviously, boy, a 2-0 advantage, you think, all right, we're going to win the cup. That's it. We're going to win. If you tie it up, you know, then you're like, okay, it's up for grabs. So, and then game three, this could have been a 3-0 lead in the series and it's over. And now, you know, you have the same feeling. So if you're Colorado, you're going, look, okay, we had a bad game. Let's get game four. We go home and we win. We win in 5. And we're home. We don't lose at home. And we've already beaten these guys 2 times at home. Vasilevsky got 1 good game against us. We've solved him 3 times. Let's just finish this thing off. So you know what? But if they lose it and they don't now all of a sudden, because what has undone them the last 2 years has been their goaltending. They both the years they had to go to their third goalie. And then even years ago, in 2018, they had to go to their third goalie. Do you remember the Hamburglar had to play against Nashville You won a game and they thought, oh my goodness, but then they lost because you can't win with backup goaltenders. You don't win at this level. So they have to decide who's their backup goaltender. But if they pull it out, you're up 3-1 with two games at home left. You're going to win the cup. So every game has its own meaning. So, I think this one's different. I thought the first period in game three would tell me whether Tampa Bay had given up or run out or emptied the tank, or whether they were determined. I don't think necessarily the first period will tell me that, but I think we'll get a look at if Kemper is in there, we'll get a pretty good look at his character. Because if you're Tampa Bay and they put Kemper back in there, don't you just have to shoot from the red line every time you get the puck?
You're thinking
we got to get, if we get a one or two bad ones by him, the team's confidence isn't there, right? So that's my thinking. I don't think it's a first period thing. I think it's just let's see how the goaltenders play in game four. What do you think's the key? What are you going to watch for?
Well, I think that Colorado will need to refocus its attention on the D zone. I think that they really need to, because let's be honest, even if you want to fault Kemper on goals 1 and 5, which you could if you really wanted to get into it, I think he got sucked over a little much on the fifth goal. But anyway, not to get into the positional arguments about it. Goals 2, 3, and 4, he did not get the help defensively he needed. And we've been talking about how we feel like, Mike, the discussion prior to the series was Tampa Bay's overall D is better, but the number one D pair for Colorado is fantastic with that Makar and Taves pairing. But those guys can't play 60 minutes. So as a team, Colorado has to be better in their defensive zone. I think to me that's going to be the focus, because Tampa Bay pushed the forecheck much harder, much more aggressively. And we talk about John Cooper being a coach of adjustments, and what he did coming into game three worked. It really seemed to neutralize a lot of what Colorado had success with, especially in game two. You cut down on the mistakes. That also helps. But, man, both these teams want to play with the puck. And Tampa Bay did a better job of playing with the puck, playing in Colorado's zone. Colorado has to do a better 1-6 job defensively. And that includes their forwards actually need to, do a better job helping out in the zone. That third man high is what Tampa Bay was using to really keep plays alive. That puck side support, they were able to keep. Here, let me get off in the deep end. They were able to keep plays alive. They were burning the extra man on the right side, winning the battles, keeping it going. That gets tiring. That wears teams down. You do it over the course of 60 minutes, yeah, guys are going to make mistakes. Guys are going to get tired. Colorado's not used to that, quite frankly. They're not used to having the agenda set against them.
No. Because there was some thought that maybe Edmonton could do that, in terms of having the puck and controlling
it.
Right. But their defense was so horrendous, and their goaltending was so bad, it didn't matter. So now you're facing another team that would like to have the puck, but they've got much better D and a much better goaltender than Edmonton had. It's a whole different scenario that they're playing against here.
Yeah. So that's, I don't know. To me, that's everything in this game is Colorado's defensive response, because it will dictate how everybody else plays. I'm not worried about Kemper, honestly. I'm not. He's a pro goalie. Okay. He'll rebound. Look, if he has a bad start, all right, then we can fire away the questions. But he should be the starter. If Francois starts, I don't care that you're up 2-1 in the series. That is the worst thing I think Colorado could do.
Yeah. Well, I think that, and I'll say to finalize it, I just think that Vasilevskiy has to take another step. I think he has to play even better than he did in game three, because I think Colorado will come out hard in game four. They want to come home up 3-1 and finish it off at home. They don't want to come back for game six. They want to finish this off, and they're a team. If they can score early, Tom, if they can get a couple early, get a 2-0 lead early, they are a team that offensively grows in confidence. once they start rolling, they really roll offensively. That's a team that's hard to stop once they feel good about their scoring. They can just outskate you. They just can. So there'll be an early push. I think this will be, more than any game we've seen, an early push from both teams. I think both teams will come out super hard because Tampa Bay they've got to even up the series, and Colorado wants to go up 3-1. I think more than any, first 10 minutes of this of game four will be the hardest played 10 minutes that we'll have seen in this series. That's my feeling.
It'll determine it. I think it'll be awesome. I agree with you. I think the energy will be tremendous for both teams, and it may be the best 10-minute stretch of hockey we see all year.
Yeah, could be.
So that'll be... go ahead.
And then it'll be up to the goalies. No, it'll be up to the goalies at that point.
Whoever's in for Colorado.
Well, and that's where I think the Kucherov thing is going to could make a difference too. If you know you've got to push and you want to score early on Kemper and hurt his confidence, you need your best player and to play well too.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. All right, well, those are our thoughts. We welcome your thoughts, your feedback, as always. And Mike is at BusterTheDog33 on Twitter. I'm at Callahan on Air. Don't forget that we do broadcast live every Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific on Facebook Live, on Twitch.tv, and on YouTube. Just look for Talking Puck TV, and we will be there with you. We also broadcast live on Twitter as well. So thanks for joining us, everybody. If you like the podcast, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Mike and I thank you for stopping by. Enjoy Game 4, and we will talk to you next on Thursday. We've got a coaching decision podcast coming as well, so keep an eye out for that. All right, everybody, thanks for stopping by. We'll talk to you next time.